Well, I'd appreciate your prayers. I feel like that the message today, the word would be profitable to us if we could get a hold of it. I know that I can use it. I'd like to start with 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. Maybe I'll read back a little bit from the thought. 5th verse of the 5th chapter of 1 Peter. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Ye all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and give grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I think sometimes it's easy for us to think of the terms of God as this almighty, great, universe-creating, awesome power, God. We can probably justify in our minds the creation of everything and the existence of everything because there is a great God. And there is, and we're thankful for that. The scripture says that he can do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think. That is an incredible God, because I can come up with a lot of stuff. So that's a big God. But sometimes where we're lacking, I feel like, is that how much does God actually, how much is he willing? And how much is he actually going to be a part of my life? This scripture, really, when you look into the scripture, it tells you how much God is willing to be in our lives. We think a lot of times in the ideas that if I get really desperate, then I can call on God and somehow maybe if I do the right things, or somehow I can get enough people praying for me, or somehow move something, that somehow this great big God can pay attention to me. But this scripture doesn't really put it that way. It says casting your cares upon him because he careth for you. When you look into that, you find out that it is from the magnificent great things that happen in your life, to the great troubles, to the great tragedies, that you can look to God. But it's also in the very small elements of your life. Anything that touches your life touches God. Any aspect of your life that is hindered, God is claiming here he cares for you. Whatever you can think of, my mind goes back, I've mentioned many times, my mind goes back to the lessons that Brother Jim used to teach us about. He lost his car keys. He lost his checkbook. He misplaced something. Something small, seeming small and insignificant, seemed to have happened that he incorporated in and put God in, because this great God that runs the universe surely can run those elements in your life. We have a lot of things that I believe that we don't create a relationship with the Lord in, that we have every right and obligation to have God in that part of our life. I don't do that with my wife. There's hardly an area that I don't incorporate my life my wife in my life. She's in all of my life. I mean, if she's going to notice, she's going to notice that if I'm not feeling well, she's going to say, "What's wrong, honey?" I mean, I'm going to say to her, "Yeah, I'm not feeling well." Or maybe she doesn't even have to ask for me to say, "Yeah, my toes are hurting." Or I mean, insignificant, "Yeah, my tooth's kind of hurt." She does the same thing with me. "I'm just not feeling well." She expresses and does that to us because there's a relationship there that's put together. The Lord, it says, is that I because He careth for you. God is caring for us. God cares whether or not, I mean, honestly, God cares whether or not you can sleep enough or not. God cares whether you've got enough financial ability. God cares to whether or not you're getting along in your family. God cares about that person that you have a burden for. God cares about your burden for that person. The expression here is that I'm the great God of the universe. But cast your cares on me because I care for you. I care about the little things. Think about this. What aspect of our children's life do we not care about? Do we sit and say, "Yeah, I want them to be fed and I want them to be clothed, but I don't. It ain't my responsibility they sit over there and cry all the time." Or what? Everything that is in our child's life, if our child is whimpering or crying, about, I know I'm this way. If my child's crying, I want to say, "What are you crying about? I mean, what's bothered you?" Well, sometimes it's something that's meaningful. And sometimes it's not so meaningful in the sense that it's something they even ought to cry about. But I care that bothers them. It bothers me that it bothers them. It bothers the peace of our life. It bothers that. So the Lord is here. It's an invitation. It's a statement of what God wants to be in our life. God wants to take care of the things in our life. You have the right. If you're disturbed about the idea that I don't know, my vehicle's not running. I mean, you may say, "Well, I shouldn't take such trivial things to God. It seems like it diminishes important things." When somebody's out there, like Brother Tanvir in Pakistan, whose foot's rottening off with diabetes, and he's in a severe case like that, that's a severe case. Maybe I shouldn't trivialize my prayer to God to say, "God, I'm not sleeping well," because Brother Tanvir, do you know that is diminishing the fact that God can take care of all of that? God can take care of the great things. But we will a lot of times not really put God in the smaller things of our life. But here is the expression that God cares for you. There's no reason for you to take the idea that God is so small or God isn't big enough to take care of the needs that I have, no matter how big or how small. How many prayers are waiting to be answered just in the small things? Things that you still can't do for yourself, you don't know how to do them. Those kind of things is expression. Here is the part of the idea of this passage of scriptures. God cares, but do you want to keep it yourself? Is there some reason why you want to keep that and do it for yourself? Because this is the truth of this scripture. It says casting your cares. You got to cast your cares. I've said this many times, got it from Brother Ed, but there's a part for us to do and there's a part for God to do. We can't do God's and He won't do ours. God's not going to cast our burdens on Himself. He gives us the ability to cast our burdens. It's our responsibility to cast our burdens on Him, cast our cares on Him, cast the difficulties on Him, cast what bothers us, cast what hurts us, cast what hurts or touches our lives in some way. It's our responsibility to take that thing, whatever it is, and cast it upon the Lord. And if you're like me, most of the time, that kind of language gets abstract because if you say to me, here is a bucket of rocks, cast these out across the river, I know what that means. I take them and start throwing them out there. I know how to do that, but it's a little abstract when you use these ideas sometimes. How do I really cast my burdens? How do I do that? How can I end up with this? This is an obvious thing in my life. How can I deal with this and get rid of this thing that's in my life? I suggest the only way that I know to do it is to take that thing in the spirit of prayer, take it into the confidence of faith. I've got this situation, Lord. It's hindering me, like Paul did with the thorn in the flesh. You remember he had the thorn in the flesh? Casting your cares upon me. So Paul takes the thorn in the flesh that he had. Whatever it was that was hindering him, that made him feel like that he couldn't accomplish, he couldn't do what he was supposed to do. He said that I prayed about it three times. I took this thorn in the flesh and said, Lord, take this thorn from me. Cast it unto you. Well, there's an answer for that. There's an answer for that. But it's not always our answer. It's like, I want to be able to get rid of it and never think about it again. But that's not what this scripture, that's not what I'm talking about. It's saying, take it and give it to the Lord. Give the results of it to the Lord. Give to the Lord. You know, the fact of it is, God didn't answer Paul's prayer for the removal of the thorn in the flesh the way Paul thought he was going to answer the prayer. But Paul ended up with an outstanding grace and confidence over that. He cast that and gave it to the Lord, and to the point that I'm not responsible. See, before that, he's laboring with it. He's dealing with it. And now he's saying, Lord, the thorn in the flesh is yours. You leave it in my body as long as you want. You give it to you as long as you want. I can have peace with it now because I'm getting a greater advantage spiritually than I ever could have before. Lord, I want to give it to you. You remove it when it's proper to remove it. Leave it as long as you can remove it. And the rest and the peace of mind to be able to cast it on the Lord. I think many times we don't cast our cares on the Lord because we think it's too trivial or too small or too insignificant. And how dare I, in the middle of the prayer request, where we're praying for people's lives, we're praying for their salvation, where people's and all of this, and I've got this simple little problem that irritates me. It just doesn't seem worthy to do it. But God cares for you. God cares to whether that is an hindrance or not. We have the ability to enhance our relationship with God through the casting of our cares on Him and find out that God really does care for that situation. Now, I don't want to embarrass my wife. I mean, I hope she's okay with this. But I remember one time she first started, I think it was making bread, loaf bread. And she's a fabulous cook. I appreciate her so much. But she had a little trouble with the bread to start with. And she started praying about the bread. She makes wonderful bread now. But it wasn't always that way. I don't know why. But you'd say, well, that's a little bit too trivial to pray about. I mean, there's people that's starving to death. There's people that's been in automobile accidents. People's lost loved ones. And I'm going to pray about whether the yeast is rising. About this. I want to give us a different perspective. God isn't so small that God can deal with that. And what God wants to do, He wants the relationship. God really wants us to say, Lord, would you help me? Lord, would you? I remember one time I was underneath my house in a very tight, if you was ever under my house, you'd really get appreciation for this because I don't have any space. I don't have no space under my house. And so in order to get where I had to go, I literally was tunneling with, is in there tunneling to be able to inch my way up to where I needed to go. So I had to make a place to do it. And I got up there and I was putting my sewer line through in under from the new bathroom into the septic area. And I got in under there and I got my pipe and I was very tight and was trying to get the pipe together. And you know, that's something that you have to have lined up just right to get it to go. And I'm under there doing that, and I couldn't do it. I started getting frustrated. And I remember this, not proud of it. I'm just telling you that after a little bit, I said, Lord, if you was trying to put pipe on and I could help you, I'd help you. That was actually what came to my mind was, Lord, if I could help you put pipe on, I would. And then I kind of, Lord, I don't mean to be plain, but would you help me to do this? That's not too small. Is what my point is that God is interested, and God was probably much more interested in getting a hold of my frustrations and taking care of that. But if you never incorporate the Lord into this and you think that he don't care, do you know he cares about your mental stability? He cares about your emotions. You think, well, emotions is something I keep to myself. I don't want to do that too much. It's kind of a personal thing like that. God deals with, and somehow we blame ourselves. I don't blame myself if I got a pain in my foot, but somehow we blame ourselves for things in our mind sometimes. God wants to take care of all that. He wants us to be a whole person. He wants to be involved in that. The Lord actually does want to help your yeast rise. I mean, God actually does want to have things to happen in your life. I mean, God is interested in all of these things. And if you hear the testimonies of God's people over the many ages of time, you'll find out that God inserted himself into things that seemed like it was maybe even unnecessary to him. There was a place in the Bible where the prophet, a man buried an axe, wasn't it? By a man, so he buried an axe and he went to chop it, and the axe head flew off the handle and went in the water, and he was like, oh, no, that was a borrowed axe. And the prophet, I think he took some lambs as a procedure, but he floated the axe head so the man could get the axe. It was only an axe head. I mean, it ain't like it's it ain't like it's a hurricane that tears everything. Or it ain't like it's a big. It was an axe head. I lost a lot of axe heads. I've lost a lot of things. But you know, God cares about those things. God cares about what. It doesn't have to be the great big things. God is concerned about the things that happens into our life. I had this pocket knife. I know God knows this. I had this pocket knife that really, I had it for years. Years and years and years. And I marveled. I marveled at the fact that I had never lost it. And it was I used it when I was hunting. I used it for everything. It was just an all-around good knife. And all of a sudden, I lose it. And I knew that I didn't use it, lose it. It's just come up, where's it at type thing. And I kept saying it'll show up. Well, we was driving down the road, and on the last trip I think we was on, and I had it'd been gone for a while, so I'd got another knife, pretty much like it, not exactly. We had gone down there, and my wife says, "You wouldn't happen to have a knife on you, would you?" And, "Yeah, I dug in my pocket. Yeah, I got a knife in there," and she used the knife and a little bit of. "Where's my knife?" "Oh, so I put it in the glove box." So she gets it back out of the glove box and gives it to me, and I'm like, "Look in there for my knife." Maybe that happened before. And she looks in there, and sure enough, she gets my knife that had been lost so long. And I was like, I had a thing for 10 years or 12 years or something that never lost it. It just got misplaced. And I go, "Oh, I got my knife back." So I put the other one in there and took that one back. I couldn't believe this. After all those years, I lost that knife again. It was like I had it for 2 days. And now I don't know where the knife's at again. But I'll tell you how I know this. I know who knows where the knife's at. And you may say, it's just too trivial to put a prayer request in. I'd like to have the knife back. I've had it for a long time. It's something that it isn't going to ruin my life or change my life. I'm just telling you that we have a God that we serve, and we can serve him and tell other people about, when we have the relationship, we can tell other people about God is real. God is real in our lives, and we can take anything to Him. I want to be able to witness that more than a super being that's out in the cosmos or in eternity somewhere that don't have no effect on your life. I want to be able to testify to a God that makes a difference in your life, that'll make your yeast rise, that'll make the bread work, that'll help the causes of our... And that isn't the big things of life, of course. But what it says is, if God is interested enough in my emotions and my cares and my stuff, then He's worth trusting for eternity. If God can take care of all those things, He's worth me telling somebody else, this is what will take care of your problems. If you'll care for the cents, He'll care for the dollars. If you care for the little things about your life, the itches and the scratches, He'll care about you for eternity. It's the God that we serve. But I want to tell you this, we will miss out on the relationship aspect of God if we don't do our part. Our part's casting. Our part is to be able to bring the things to the Lord. I'm not promoting radical behavior. I'm not promoting that you become some kind of, in your own mind, some kind of an ultra spiritual person that walks around with your feet not touching the ground, because it isn't going to happen. But I am talking about a real God that can be a part of our life, that can help us with things. Obviously, if I can go pick up something out of the floor, I'm not going to sit there and pray till God levitates it out of the floor. Obviously, there's things that we, the way we produce in life, but we have the ability, the privilege of being able to have God a part of our lives because He cares for His people that much. This scripture, Peter may have very well got this, I'm not sure, but he may have got this from the 55th Psalm, Psalms 55 and 22 says, "Cast thy burdens upon the Lord, for He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee." And I'm thinking that the Lord's goal and purpose is in the sustaining. You know, a lot of times, I just want us to think about these kind of things. If we don't, well, let's put it this way. David, in his experience with God, was out as a young boy and he had a duty. His duty was to watch after the flocks. And when he was out there, his testimony was that a lion came and a bear. And they came to take the lambs from the flock, and he defended against the bear and the lion. And God gave him victory over the lion and over the bear. And that was a substantial victory. But maybe he didn't go and give me the liberty of thinking this way, but maybe there was something that made David think that he could take on that lion and that bear. Maybe there was something before that had happened to where God worked in his behalf, to where he prayed, "Lord, the sheep need water and can't get into the water. I need some help here. Maybe the Lord sent a rain and helped to water them." And I'm just surmising that maybe back as his child, when he was a boy, maybe his daddy had prayer with him sometime at a need that he had. Maybe he had a sore throat. And Jesse prayed with him and the Lord healed his sore throat and he remembered that. Maybe somewhere along the line he got himself tangled up in some other things and prayer worked for him. And maybe he went on and now he's going to have to face this line. And maybe David thought of all the word of God that he had heard, and maybe he remembered the stories of the the walls of Jericho falling down, maybe the Red Sea opened up, maybe those kind of things is in his mind and heart. And so here comes a line, and God had always delivered and blessed these people, and so God has been in my life, he's taken care of the small things, and now it's getting a little bigger, and now this is an ordeal, and now I'm going to have to fight the line. And so here's the situation, and he doesn't back up at all, saying the same God that healed the sore throat and the stubbed toe, and the same one that provided rain in the season and food when we needed it, and done all that, and now here's a lion, and why wouldn't God take care of the lion too? He takes care of the lion. It's called a relationship. God, David knows God. David knows God. He calls on God. I need some things here from you, Lord, today, and he done that, and it didn't stop there. But there was events that happened, and now there's a giant that's standing before Israel, defying the name of God and the armies of Israel, and now David's there, the same little boy that his daddy prayed for. And again, this is not the word of God, it's my surmising, but possibly the prayers, the scriptures that he knew. But I know this, he did say there was a lion and a bear came to take the flock, and God gave me victory. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be just like that. It had built on that. And do you wonder sometimes, do you ever think I don't have enough faith? Or have you ever said, I need more faith in God? You know, if we don't cast our cares upon the Lord, that he cares about and wants to work in our lives, you know, we've had outstanding. I remember one time was down in prayer. I was down in prayer, and I asked the Lord. Weekend was coming up. It was Friday, I think. But weekend's coming up, Saturday maybe. And I was in prayer saying, Lord, what do you want me to do this weekend? What do you have something for me? I was literally praying, on my knees praying, when the phone rang. And I just asked the Lord this, and the phone rings, and a brother from up in Indiana asked me if I would come up. He had to be gone, and I asked me if I'd come up to the congregation and preach for his congregation there. And the Lord answered my prayers. I was casting, Lord, I don't know what to do. What do you want me to do? Casted it on there, and now it's a very memorable thing that God was in that and answered that place. He says, casting your burdens. Casting your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain thee through all of those things. God is going to keep us through that. It's our place and responsibility. Surely, there will be many, many things happen in the course of our day, our life, weeks, the week coming. There'll be many, many things that can happen, and God cares about those things in our lives. And we have world events going on. The strangeness, timely thought and message for the time. It would come through all of the crazy COVID things. We're in a changing world. We've got a war going on over in Europe. You got things that's pressing on every hand. Don't forget that he says, casting your cares, all your cares on me, because I care for you. The worrisome and anxious thought that the Lord himself warned us about. He said about taking thought for tomorrow. You don't need to take thought for tomorrow. Put the things on there. Cast it upon the Lord. Cast all that upon the Lord. The Lord has promised that I will not leave you or forsake you. I'll be with you to the end of the world. The Lord has made promise. I'll take care of you. You cast it on me. Let it go. Let it go. I don't know if you're troubled by the war. I'm not saying don't pay attention to it, not pray for it, but let the anxiety go. Give it to God. God's big enough to take care of those things in our life. I heard the other day, you're going to watch out. There's going to be a food shortage and all those kind of things. And you think about, well, I never really went through that much in our lives, but I want to tell you what, give it to the Lord. He cares. He cares about that part of your life too. Just give it to the Lord. Because if we don't, we'll end up taking all that on ourselves, and it will never come to pass anyway, most of it. But not, the Lord don't want us to be worrisome, but faithful. Uh, faith, faith believing in God. We're going to look at another scripture in Psalms. Oh, I think I'm looking for 127. It says, except the Lord build the house, they that labor, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrow, for so he giveth his beloved sweet. This scripture, you go on and read it, you're talking about, is mainly talking about home and family. It's talking about children, wife, those kind of things. But the expression to start out with, it, except the Lord build the house, and whether that was the house of the Lord that he referred to, could have been, or a literal house, which could be, or a house that's in the sense that the rest of the scripture talks about of having children and putting it all together. The idea of the scripture is except the Lord. Except the Lord be in what's being done. There's no doubt things can be accomplished in some sense or another, that you can do things in this life. But this scripture says except the Lord build the house. They that labor in doing it, do it in vain. It's not... It is impossible. It is impossible to really accomplish or get anything unless the Lord's in it. The watchman can watch, but he watches in vain unless the Lord's in it. He can watch, and it even says you can stay up late. You can rise early and stay up late, and you can watch the whole time through. But you can't if the enemy comes, and you can holler as loud as you can holler. What's the watchman for? It's to warn so the city won't be taken. But the watchman can stand and he can do all of the things that a watchman can do. But if the Lord don't keep the city, it'll fall anyway. The watchman's whole purpose is to give warning so that the city can be spared, so you can have enough time to do what you have to do. The whole idea about building a house, except you build it, you labor to what accomplishment? It's not going to be anything accomplished if you don't really do it. If you don't put the Lord in your family, the idea is if you don't put the Lord in your family, there's nothing blessing about it. It can actually be the opposite of that. Just because there's more people in it doesn't make it a better one. It just means more people. But this is saying when the Lord's in it and involved in it, there's a success in it. We need to put the Lord in these kind of things and go back to the message, casting your cares upon the Lord. Those things that happen in our life might be a very, very good thing. It may look bad, but it may be a very good thing. When Joseph was thrown into a well and sold into slavery and taken to Egypt, the scripture says they intended it to be bad. They intended it for evil. They had a bad purpose of getting rid of him, of jealousy and those kind of things. But God didn't do that. God said they intended it for evil, but God allowed it for good. All of it was done for good. So the things that are in our lives that the Lord is suggesting, cast on me, he may leave it, he may take it away. He may do, but he will bless it. The point is that he will bless it. At the end of it, we look at the story of Job. Job didn't look good at all. None of it looked good. Job has his stuff, and along comes the enemy and spoils his stuff, and then these children get killed, and they rob him of this and that, and Job at the end looks at it all and says, blessed be the name of the Lord. I had nothing when I come into this world, and I'll take nothing out, and God's name be blessed, and he lifted up, and you look at that and say it was bad, but it wasn't bad for God, because at the end of it, Job said, I heard of him, and now I see him, and come forth as pure gold. All of this that seemed to destroy Job was in the plan of God from the beginning. God knew how to bless Job at the end. It said his wealth, and he increased more than ever before. At the end of it, he had more than he ever had done, and he was blessed more than ever at the end of it. That's what God is intending to do with this, that we will never ever see or be able to experience the relationship that God wants us to have with him if we don't cast those things on the Lord. You and I can get the mind that I can build my house myself. Or I can prevent. If I do this right, I can prevent by the right kind of retirement, the 401ks, I can satisfy the end of my life. Well, there's some wisdom in doing some of those kind of things. But the scripture says you can get up early in the morning, you can stay up late at night, you can do all of that. But then something can drain all that. If God ain't in it, you can spend all of that on medical bills, or you can spend all of that, or a catastrophe of some way, or it can be gone. Or even if none of that happens and you keep it all, you can sit and be a miserable old grumpy old man without any good spirit about you at all, and never have attained anything, or never had the ability to testify to the mercy and love of God, never seen anything spiritual or anything good that ever happened in your life. Many of people like that ended up, the husband sitting grumping at the wife, and the wife sitting grumping at the husband, and the children won't come visit either one of the grumpy old people, and then they're in a miserable life complaining and murmuring when the whole life had been set with all kind of things that you could have cast upon the Lord. And the Lord would have taken those things and built a relationship out of them that would work in your life. And at the end of it, you don't have to be grumpy. You can be sweet. You can have a good relationship right to the end. And with all of it, at the end of it, there is a place to where you know it's well with your soul and it's all right. And like I said, the same God that is willing to take care of the little things of my life, the things that I can pray about, the things that I can find God in the small things, it goes on and on. And now I've got a great confidence in God that He can do the big things. And the same God of the little things is now the God of eternity for me. I can trust God with no matter what happens in my life. So other countries fall, this country's fall, it's getting more ungodly all the time, got some strange notions, all of those things that's happened, it's changed. The world's changed drastically in my age. I'll be 60 years old this year. I mean, I've seen some drastic things that we're dealing with. Who would have ever have thought that you would actually be making arguments about what room people go to the bathroom in? I mean, honestly, I'm not being critical, and I'm not throwing off on anybody or running anybody down, but the mindset that the devil's been getting in people's minds and done, and go away from all kind of just logical, biblical, natural truths that they're going away from and trying to live life by that and doing all that. It's an incredible time. Well, the Lord gives us the answer to all of it from the people of God. Cast your cares upon me. Cast your cares all upon Him, for He careth. He careth for you. Don't have to let your mind get messed with all those kind of things. I am more and more, I appreciate the sound biblical doctrines that the church teaches. And I always had. They've always been impressive to me, and I say amen to them. But I'm finding more and more, the Lord leading me more and more, the great principle is still love. Loving God and loving people. The great principle that should be premier of all of that is that we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that we have a relationship with Him. And this God that took care of me when my daddy prayed for me when I was sick, and the one that helped me through school when I was going through school, or helped me through those emotional times when I felt awkward and stupid and all those kind of things, and God was real for me all the way, and He also become real when I had to fight the lion and the bear, and when I had to fight the giants of my life, then God was real there, and God can be real all the way to eternity. I mean, we're putting a lot in our lives. We alter our lives, obviously. We change our lives, the way we live and what we do. There's a lot of places I don't go, and there's a lot of places I don't experience because I serve God, and I don't want those ungodly things. I make those decisions in my life, and one of these days there's going to be a reward for all of those things that we've done. The message is casting your cares upon Him. So, like I said, I think I'm greatly benefited by this scripture, that I have the right and the privilege to cast whatever my need is. Whatever the position where I'm at in life is to be able to give that completely to the Lord, and because He cares for us. There'll be times where the answer will be a physical move of some kind. There'll be times that financially God might send some money in the mail. There'll be most of the times where there'll be the windows of heaven's going to open up and you're going to get a grace. You're going to get a grace and power that's going to overwhelm the problem, and you're going to be able to go through that problem with a victory in your heart and mind, knowing that God, the God that takes care of all these other things, will take care of this one too. So I appreciate the Lord. You all pray for me.